you know, I used to listen to a lot of trad jazz when I was young. And again, that was through my dad. My dad's band used to have a Dixieland thing and set in the middle of their set. And I used to ask him where all these songs came from. And of course, they came from one band, which was Louis Armstrong's band. And the banjo player in that band used to do this thing where he used to flick flourish. Most banjo players used to play blank dang 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 dang. The guy with Big Spiderbeck, for example, was around at roughly the same time, or maybe a bit before. Just used to slap away, dang 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 like that. And then the guy that played with Louis Armstrong, I can't remember his name. Maybe it was something Russell, I can't remember. But started to do this solo thing where he would start to do flourishes, very, very flexible. And I started to copy this guy. And so when I got into power chording, all my power chords would start with a flourish. I'd never just play dang. I'd go dang like that. And it would create this kind of little explosive kind of thing. But it was learnt from the banjo. The flamenco stuff that came a bit later on was, again, played... It was flamenco flourishes, four-finger arpeggios, strums, played with a pick. And I developed a technique of holding the pick, which is where you don't actually hold it, it just floats in midair. Yeah. You don't actually... Occasionally drop it, but that stuff was just an evolution of... you know, what's always been really good for me has been the fact that I think my father and mother and everybody that I've respected musically has been very broad. You know, nobody has ever been a snob about music. You know, Kit Lambert, when he came to manage The Who...
He encouraged you to do a quick one, correct?
Yeah, that's right. He was always very, he used to talk about throwing snobbery back in the face of snobs. And that's why, you know, today when... You know, I still find it hilarious, you know, when, you know, somebody writes about the history of The Who and they're looking at all the, you know, all the collected research and they say, of course, Tommy with its funny ending and it's not really an opera. You know, you think, actually, you fuck, you wouldn't know an opera if it came up and bit you in the arse. You don't know what opera is because it's not defined. You know, it's just a word, you know, and...
With a quick one, when you did that, I mean, it was so revolutionary for its time. I mean, obviously that was the precursor to Tommy, but were you a bit, not scared is the word, but perhaps just a bit reticent to record a song like that, which really was fairly revolutionary? Merging.
No, I wasn't, because at that time, that particular album was a fun album. Have you heard this band called Len?
No.
Len are a skateboard band. You know, they had a hit over here with a song called Steal My Sunshine. And they came over here and did Top of the Pops. I think they're an American band, but they're kids. They're like between 18 and 22. A couple of them do vinyl scratching. A couple of them do a lot of dancing revolving on their heads. There's a pretty girl who shows her navel, which of course has got a ring in it. And a couple of guys that obviously write the songs. And on their album, they have fun. You can just hear they're having fun. You know, there's a couple of rappy kind of songs, a couple of skateboardy type things. And then suddenly, there's a heavy metal impersonation. Now, on that album, Quick One While He's Away, we had fun. We just had a load of fun. You know, songs like Tattoo, like...
My favourite.
Odorono, things like that. All of those songs around that period. The fact that on that album too, I think what we were trying to do is we were trying to make it so that everybody in the band wrote songs. So we encouraged Keith to write, we encouraged John to write, we encouraged Roger to write. That we just enjoyed doing it. And I think... You know, what I've actually said to Roger recently, I said, you know, if you want to get into a place where, you know, The Who, whoever the fuck they are, can make a decent album, we should go back to that place, you know, where you can just do anything and you can get away with it.
Cobwebs and strings.
Because if anybody says to you, this is shit or this is something, you just say, we were joking. We weren't really serious. You know, and the thing about mini opera is that it's not at all serious. The thing about Tommy was that it was serious. You know, I wanted a fucking big hit, and I got one. You know,
there is a lot
so
of humor.
I then have to actually take the flak, which is that, you know, that a lot of Tommy is rather tacky and weird, but, you know, it's a fucking huge hit, and you can't kind of argue with that. But with a quick one while he's away, what's it about? You know, I mean, I recently I thought I'd get it done by an orchestra, And I was sitting talking to an orchestrator with, you know, the girl that had worked with me on Lifehouse, and said to her, you know, at this point the crowd come in, and she said, where are the crowd? I said, in the town square. And what are they doing there? Don't know. You know, they're there to welcome a train driver. This guy, Ivor the... And then I'm thinking, no, hold on a minute. Ivor's not been away. Ivor's... The guy's been... And, you know, I'm, the story is nonsense and nothing, but it was fun. We just had a laugh.